You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is Ken Johnston. I'll be your host for the next hour. And we'll be joined in a minute by Francis Slavodnik to talk about the National Rosary Crusade. But just before that, a reminder that coming up in November is Kathleen McCarthy's annual Ad Lumina Christi Healing Retreat. She'll be joined this year by my co-host from the Saints and Sinners Show, Father Doug McKay. The retreat's being held Monday through Friday, November 14th to the 18th at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. You can see our website at inhissign.com for more information. And the theme of this healing retreat is For These Urgent Times. Also, if you'd care to join us for dinner on Monday evening, we have our annual golf outing, our biggest fundraiser of the year. We're closed out as far as golfers go, but if you'd like to join us for dinner and the silent auction, we'll be at Indian Valley Country Club Monday evening. You can give Maureen a call here at In His Sign. The number is 610-527-2906. Again, 610-527-2906. I look forward to seeing all of you out there on Monday. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Francis Slavodnik from the National Rosary Crusade. I have to admit, I don't know a whole lot about you, Francis, but as I was reading the ad here for Kathleen's retreat, and this year it's called For These Urgent Times, and I know as part of the National Rosary Crusade, and I think we have a mutual friend in Father Heilman and the 54-day Rosary Novena, that these really are urgent times, especially with what we're seeing in this election cycle and everything else. So it's a pleasure to welcome you to In His Sign Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the warm welcome.
Sure. And I think what prompted us to get in touch with you is the National Rosary Crusade. I know we've been having a few guests over the last few weeks, including Father Heilman, and talking about the state of the country where it is today, and the darkness, the confusion, and yet with our Catholic faith, we know who's going to win in the end. We have to persevere through these times. And I think one of the ways that we do that is through praying the Rosary. The Rosary played a huge role in my conversion back to the Church some 25 years ago. And maybe if you could tell us a little bit about the National Rosary Crusade.
Certainly, I'll be happy to do that. I'm the National Director for the American Eats Fatima Public Square Rosary Crusade, and we started this in the year 2007. seeing the direction our country's heading in, and having total confidence in Our Lady's words at Fatima on October 13th, 1917, when Our Lady said, July 13th, 1917, when Our Lady said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." So we decided as an organization that because of the moral and spiritual condition of our country, that we needed to do more to pray for our country, to pray for conversion, and also to offer reparation for the numerous sins that are committed every day in our country. You think of abortion, that's one, but there are many other offenses against God and Our Lady and the Church that are committed every day. So we thought we needed to, like the early Christians of old, go out into the public square and offer public prayer and reparation for these sins. The first year we did this in 2007, we had around 2,000 rallies. This year we have 16,323 rallies scheduled all across America, which will represent hundreds of thousands of Hail Marys and rosaries offered for America.
That's just an awesome number, and I believe we're here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I know you're in the Midwest there. So is there some place where folks can go to find out where these are being held?
Sure. If they can go to www.nancy.org. That's our website. And right on the front cover page, it'll have information about our rallies. You can look up rallies in your community. And you can also sign up. It's not too late to sign up. The last day that we can take orders for, we have a free banner that's 8 foot long, a full-color banner with a beautiful picture of Our Lady and a message about praying for America. Until Friday, we will ship those banners out for free to anyone who signs up to be a rally captain, as well as a manual that, you know, to give them up with a program, a suggested program, and some comments and some pictures and some good reference materials to help a person organize a rally.
And are these rallies taking place on a particular day, or is it any?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, October 15th at 12 o'clock noon local time. So we try to pick the Saturday closest to the 13th, which was, of course, Our Lady's apparition at Fatima on the 13th. So we try to pick a Saturday because we know if it was during the week, it would greatly make it a lot more difficult for people. So on a Saturday, we know people are usually off and free and are able to get out and organize these magnificent rallies that I really will believe have a big role in returning our country back to God.
Very good. And while you were explaining it, Francis, I was able to go out and bring it up. So just here locally in the Philadelphia area, there's quite a few. For our local listeners, we'll be in Norristown and Collegeville, and there are a couple different spots in the city of Philadelphia. It looks like 19147, which is, I know, down close to Grace Ferry, where I hang out once in a while, and then 19136. There's also one in Malvern, and quite a few other places, Bensalem, to name a few. So, and it looks like there's 10 pages, and I don't know how many are on each page just for Pennsylvania folks. So yeah. These are all over on Saturday, October the 15th at noontime. If you go out to this website, again, it's anf.org. I believe that's short for America Needs Fatima.
America Needs Fatima, yes.
Exactly.
Make it simple.
Yeah, so anf.org. And you can find a location and then click on See Rally Details, and it'll tell you where and when and these are taking place. And so I guess it also falls, I think we're in an ideal time to talk about the Rosary, Francis, because, of course, this Friday is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Yes.
And I know here in Philadelphia, the Archbishop will be at the Cathedral on Friday night for Liturgy of the Word and the Rosary.
Yes.
But how important the Rosary is to us as Catholics. And I know, as I mentioned before, it was one of the things that I really think turned my life around. And when we hold those beads in our hand and contemplate and think about the mysteries, If we pray, we used to be 15, now 20 mysteries on a somewhat regular basis. It's almost like a mini catechism, and the whole life of Jesus Christ, now that John Paul II added those luminous mysteries. And, you know, just a great way to meditate on the life of Christ.
Absolutely. You know, Our Lady, in her 15 promises to those who recite the rosary, one of them is, "You shall obtain all you ask of me through the recitation of the rosary." So that's what we keep reminding ourselves here, is that we see that some real troubling times in our country, but if we persevere and pray the rosary to Our Lady, at a certain point she will intervene. Mm. She will turn things around as a result of the prayers of so many.
And it really wouldn't be the first time that she would do it, right?
No, that's right. Feast of the Our Lady of the Rosary is the date of the victory of Lepanto, which everything looked stacked against the Christians, and Our Lady intervened because of the Pope Pius the V asked all the faithful throughout the world to pray the Rosary for the success of the fleet, and they did, and miraculous things happened. You know, during that battle, the wind changed direction. It was favoring the Muslims. And at the last second, it changed directions and favored the Christians. Muslim captives reported seeing a woman in the sky, Our Lady in the sky. And I remember reading the Pope Pius V, that they sent a messenger right away. Well, it took the messenger 2 weeks. Well, at the time of the victory, he stopped whatever he was doing and said, "Let's go to the chapel and sing a Te Deum, for a great victory has happened today."
Mm. And again, a direct result of people praying the rosary and Our Lady interceding, and again, what seemed like what was going to be a hopeless affair. And as dedicated as you are to the Rosary, Francis, I'm assuming that you probably have gotten your hands on a copy of Father Calloway's book.
I have not. I've seen it, but I haven't gotten a copy of it yet.
Yeah, well, when you do, and the only reason I bring it up is because he breaks down the Rosary into each century in that book.
Okay, yes.
So you can see the role that the Rosary had played. It's and over the years how it was actually. Would go back and forth from being a real popular devotion to almost being non-existent.
Yes.
And we were talking in our previous hour, we have a show called Saints and Sinners, where we're talking about Faustina and how the Lord always seems to raise up the right people at just the right time to bring to his people what we need. And
that's right.
And we saw that with Faustina in the 20th century and Divine Mercy. And it seems to me more recently that we're hearing about the Rosary again. I know as a child it wasn't, I'm not afraid to say how old I am. I'm 55 years old, and I remember coming up as a kid and going through grade school and hearing about the Rosary, but it wasn't something that, you know, my family or a lot of the people that I was around were doing. Yeah. And it seems like in the last 20 years, I'm going to say, but especially in the last 15 years since the beginning of the 21st century, that the Rosary seems to be talked about and touted, and I don't know if that has to do with possibly these being the end of that 100-year rule that Mary talked about at Fatima.
Yes.
You know, so maybe if you had something a comment perhaps about that 100-year rule, and do you think that that's part of what's going on today?
I'm not sure that I understand the 100-year rule. I'm not sure.
I thought at Fatima, perhaps, that Satan had said, or that...
That was Pope Leo XIII, yeah.
Okay.
All right, yes, Saint Pope Leo XIII had a vision of Satan, and that our Lord gave him 100 years, and then it was going to be all over with for him.
Yeah, yeah.
For the time being, if I'm remembering right, I don't think anything was said like that at Fatima. But
you're correct.
I believe that was a vision that Pope Leo XIII had, who was the last pope of the 19th century, going into the 20th. I believe that was a vision that he had, that Satan had 100 years, and then Our Lady was going to take over. And,
yeah.
It was going to be bad for him. But we see, you know, we have our rosary rallies, And it really is amazing because, you know, people ask us, well, why don't you just have it in church? Why do you have it out? And, you know, we believe that we want to not only have our prayers, but our public witness, because people are out shopping or whatever they're doing, and they see people there praying the rosary, and it really does have a tremendous effect on people. We have my youngest daughter is 15, and she has I bought her a counter, and you know, she counts the honks, and it's not uncommon for us to get over 400 honks in about an hour's time. People, you know, honking in support of us, you know, praying the rosary. Even people that aren't Catholics, you know, admire the fact that we have the conversions of our conviction, that we have the certainty of our convictions, that we're able to do that in the public square. And it really does have an impact on people. And because folks are out there praying, Our Lady, I really believe, is generously dispensing her graces on those who pass by and who see or hear about the Rosary rallies.
And is this something, Francis, you do more than just October the 15th then?
Well, some people, we encourage people to do this, but it's up to them. We have a rally, for instance, here where I live in Kansas, we have a rally once a month. Rain or shine, hot or cold. There are some people that aren't able to do that. We understand that. There's a lady in New York City who has a rally every Saturday. Every single Saturday she has a Rosary rally, which I think is just wonderful. Mm. But there are more and more people that are having rallies more often, you know, maybe on a monthly basis or as often as they can. But we really encourage people to do it once a year. You know, it's not an easy thing, we realize, for people to go out and publicly display their faith. It's not easy to do that. So, and people say, well, Our Lady asked for prayer and penance, and we tell them the prayer is the rosary, the penance is doing it in public.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, for some people that are used to, you know, public witness, it's not such a big deal. But for many people, it's hard to get out there in public and to share your faith, a little bit of nervousness and fear about it. But once people do it, they come back with a wonderful happiness, a wonderful consolation, realizing that they really did touch people, not just with their prayers, but by their public presence.
And I can certainly attest to and understand that fear, you know, being a revert, if you will, that it took a while before I could wear my faith on my sleeve, if you will. And but it is one of those things, I think, that once you do it once, whether it's a rosary rally or, you know, something that you have on your house outside or in your cubicle at work, that lets people know, you know, a little bit more about you, especially your Catholic faith, that once you overcome that, it to me, it's amazing some of the things that can take place. And just as an example, I switched offices in the building that I work in. They went with these new Office of the Future where everything's wide open. But not all that long ago, I was in a cubicle. And in that cube, you know, I had my pictures of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and my Serenity Prayer plaque that was there. And I would have people that would come by and just want to sit down in my extra chair. And, you know, sometimes they would come over and they would just sit down. And I know they didn't want to talk. They just wanted to sit. And some of them would pray. But you know, other times they might want to dump a problem or two. But that's just something that we can do as individuals, you know, something small.
That is true.
I know others now that, you know, this time of year here in Philadelphia, we're starting to have the 40 Days for Life. And the folks that will go and witness at, outside of Planned Parenthood and some of the other abortion mills, often, very often, with the rosary in their hand. And I had a good friend that had never done it, and she, it was one of these 40 days things, and they were really pressing for people to come out and help, and she went. And it was her first time there, and she actually talked to a woman and was able to get her to turn around and at least go across the street and talk to some folks that would be able to help her if she would decide not to have the abortion. Yep. And a difference that can make in somebody's life, because now she actually thinks and believes and knows that she was working for God in that moment, that God was working through her to help that individual. And I think when we do the public witness, especially if you do one of these rosary rallies coming up on the 15th, it's not something that you're doing it alone. You're doing it with a group. And it'd be a great way to break out of that shell if you find yourself in that situation.
And you're going to see that the overwhelming number of people support. They may not always honk, but they will be support what you're doing. They're going to be touched by grace. That's like, for instance, you mentioned standing at the abortion clinic. It's very important we pray. We have to pray, but we also have to act. Mm. We have to show our faith in our presence in the world. And if that lady hadn't been there at that abortion clinic, that woman may have had an abortion. So she was there praying, but she was also there with her body standing up for life. So we believe the same thing with the public square rosary crusade. We go out in the public sphere, and publicly express our faith. And people are going to admire that, even if they're not. We've had one time we had a non-Catholic couple stop by, and this was one of our monthly rallies in the summer, and they brought us all cold drinks. They said, "We're not Catholic, but we admire so much that you believe in your convictions so much that you're willing to stand out here in the hot sun and do this." Mm-hmm. And so that's just one example. I was thinking of another one here of a great reversion story. So it took 3 years for this lady. The first year, she lived in California. She saw a rally, and it did make a little bit of an impact on her. It kind of made her think of her, you know, that she was raised Catholic, and but she kept on driving. Well, the next year, she happened to be driving by the same place where the same rally was held, and, you know, it got her more curious. She said, "I'm going to stop and ask, see what this is all about." So she went and talked to the people. They explained to her, and she, one of the ladies there, gave her a rosary, and she stayed there with them. Well, the third year, she had her own rally. Mm-hmm. She came back to the church and had her own rally. So, and we have just tons and tons of stories like this that happen at rallies. It's not always going to be something like that, but we certainly get occasions of great things happening. People coming back to their faith or taking an interest in our faith. And people, you know, everyone today who doesn't have a strong faith, they're all seeking answers for the immense problems today, whether it's their family, their marriage, their work, their whatever moral problems or spiritual problems they may have. They're all seeking a solution, and Our Lady has a solution. She will, as she told Sister Lucy at Fatima, "I am the path that will lead you to God." So if we're out there standing up for Our Lady, praying for all these souls, she's going to touch them. And in her way, she will do all that she can to bring them close to her Son.
Very good. And again, brothers and sisters, I'm talking to Francis Slobodnik. He's called in from Kansas, and we're talking about the National Rosary Crusade. If you have a question or comment, we'd ask you to give us a call. Again, the number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or perhaps you're listening over the internet and want to call from a distance. You can get us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Perhaps you've been to one of the rosary rallies locally here in Philadelphia in the past and want to call in and share about your experience with that. Maybe you went for the first time recently and it changed your life. We'd love to hear from you and the experience that you've had with the rosary, and especially if it was at a rosary rally.
And I'd also like to mention that, you know, the main way that we recruit Rosary Rally captains or organizers is through volunteers that come to our office in Kansas. They volunteer for usually 2 weeks, sometimes longer, and they get on the phone, they call members of our organization and recruit them to be rally captains. And some of the best volunteers we have come from Philadelphia. We've had 5 volunteers that are right off the top of my head, because I remember them so well. They were so dedicated. There's two sisters that are there, Filipino heritage, that came. They both come before. One of them came this year. The other one couldn't come this year. But they're dynamic on the phone. They do not. When it comes to Mama Mary, to Our Lady, they do not take no for an answer. They are really really bulldogs when they when they or they talk to people to try to recruit them, try to convince them how important it is to hold a rally. And we just had a wonderful lady, another wonderful lady from the Philadelphia area, just leave, who just a wonderful, dedicated volunteer. So I could, off the top of my head, I could just think of five. There are probably others that from the Philadelphia area that were really an inspiration.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And we actually have a good friend of mine on the line. When I was talking to my buddy Father McKay last night about who my guest was going to be today, I knew this guy was going to call. How you doing, friend?
All right, Kenny. How you doing, buddy?
All right, brother.
It was good to hear you guys talking about the rosary, and I queued in a little too late. I was like 5 minutes. Your show was already in progress, so I turned it on, and you guys are talking about my favorite pastime, and that's saying a rosary. And I just was wondering if you had told him about the rosary procession we're going to have October 13th down at the lakes.
No, I didn't get there yet, Fran. What we've been talking about, Fran, is a lot of rallies that are going to take place on the 15th at noontime. But by way of background, Francis, Fran and I are secular Franciscans, and we've been hanging out together probably for about 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah, so is my wife. She's a secular Franciscan as well.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Francis, or Fran that's on the phone, was paid a visit from our Blessed Mother about a month ago, probably a little bit longer than that, and she had requested a rosary rally, if you will, and that's going to take place next Thursday evening. That's October the 13th.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to meet in a pretty busy area, South Philadelphia, down near the stadiums.
Great.
We're going to start to gather at 5:30 p.m., and we're going to meet at the Swedish Museum that's there, and then we're going to take the rally. I guess it's over Patterson Avenue and then Broad Street. Is that how it's going to go, Fran?
Yeah, and we'll leave from the 20th and Patterson, go up Patterson Avenue to Broad Street, down Broad to a ramp that goes into the lakes, and we'll finish up going around the lakes to, and we'll finish up at the Swedish Museum. But we're getting a lot of calls about it, and today I went to St. Rita's to see if we can get a platform to carry the Blessed Mother, and I'm waiting for them to get back to me so we can, just like your fellow, the guy there, what's his name, Joe?
Francis. Francis.
Francis.
Another Francis. Yeah, I'm surrounded.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know, it was a dream or whatever it was, but I talked to a young lady today, and she, an old friend of mine, she said, the Blessed Mother was talking to your heart, and she was telling me she wanted, the way it happened, she wanted a procession, and then last night, I was really bugged, I couldn't go to sleep last night. All I kept thinking was, we have to have the Blessed Mother processed around that park. Everybody has to see her. We can't hide her.
Oh, yeah.
It was on my mind, so I stopped at St. Rita's, and we have to get something to carry her with. We just can't just leave her in the park. We have to carry her, let everybody see her. And just like Fran said there, that's our job today. We have to show people who we are and what we are,
Yes.
It's time for the Catholics to come out of hiding, man, and start fighting. This is our La Fonte.
A good friend of mine is retired Army officer, and I use this a lot in talking about the Public School Rosary Crusade. He said, no Army ever won playing defense.
That's right.
Mm. You have to play offense. You have to go into the enemy's domain. So we have to go out into the world and conquer it for Our Lady. And I have a beautiful quote here from St. Maximilian Kolbe that I like a lot. He says, under the standard of the Immaculate, a great battle will be fought, and we will raise her flags on the fortress of the King of Darkness. So we have to be on the offense to conquer America for Our Lady. We can't just sit back. We have to be on the offense. We have to have a thirst for souls, a thirst for winning over our country, for Our Lady. And that's one of the things that inspires me, is that notion.
Very good.
Right.
Listen,
old friend Father McKay would say, he's going to be awful mad when our Lord uses his mother to take him down.
That's right, yep.
Yeah. So, Fran and Francis, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a break. Fran, if you want to stay on, you can stay on over the break. But
that's okay. I'm going to shoot down the mass, okay?
Very good. Remember me at the altar, please.
I will, brother.
All right. Thanks. God bless, friend. So, Francis, we're just going to take a short break, take care of some business. We'll be right back.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is Ken Johnston, your host this hour, and we've been talking to Francis Slobodnik about the National Rosary Crusade. Before we go back to Francis, just a reminder that coming up on November 14th to the 18th, Monday to Friday, will be Kathleen's Healing Retreat out at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. She'll be accompanied by my good friend, Father Doug McKay. And the theme for this year's Healing Retreat is For These Urgent Times. For more information, you can check out our website at inhissign.com. I also want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and especially for your ongoing support, both your financial support and your prayerful support. More importantly, your prayerful support. You know, we've been talking the first half hour here about the importance of prayer, and especially in the form of the rosary. But so many of you out there, we know, that continue to keep In His Sign in your prayers, and that's what allows us to continue to maintain this network and be able to broadcast these fine messages and these fine guests we have, like Francis Slobodnik today. So if you have a question or a comment, like Fran, who called in a few minutes ago, you can give us a call, 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. So did I read somewhere, Francis, that you happened to make a little trip to Oklahoma recently?
We sure did, yes.
And
yes, back in August, there was another blasphemous black mass that was held there, and our organization decided to go there and offer, again, public reparation. There is There are so many sins committed in public today where people, things people used to do in private, now they do in public. There's this sense of shame is lost. And we believe that public sin requires public reparation. That when God looks down upon the earth, that we hope that he sees the people publicly defying him, that he also sees people publicly defending him and praying to him and offering him reparation. So we were down there for that. Actually, it was, I think, my fifth time that I've been in Oklahoma City for some horrific event that the Satanist has held. And this time, which as well as other times, is held in a taxpayer-subsidized public facility, which means our tax dollars are being used to promote Satanism.
Mm.
Because all those places are subsidized. The money they make for tickets and rental does not cover the cost, so they get local, state, and federal funds to keep those places open. So against our will, we're being forced to subsidize something, and it's very offensive to us as Catholics and to everyone of goodwill.
And something in that scenario, so it's one thing for a group of people to get together like we're going to do next Thursday night and hold one of these rallies and a procession in the public square through some pretty busy streets in Philadelphia. It must be quite different in that kind of situation. I would think that the darkness, that the evil is almost palpable in that situation.
It is, but we're fortunate enough to have priests there with us, blessing us, praying. We also, everyone who goes, we give them a bottle of holy water, and we give them. We took buses, down, so we give everyone on the bus a bag that had various prayers, St. Michael chaplet, and other various prayers of reparation and asking for spiritual protection, as well as holy water. Asking God's protection on us. But, there's also there's a sense of, because people have the idea today, and it's often portrayed in Hollywood and the culture, that evil is strong and good is weak. Well, it's the opposite.
Mm.
Evil is weak. It is those who have faith who are strong. And the people that support something that's evil like that, they tend to be, for instance, they go in the side door. They don't go in the front door. They sneak in the side door.
Right.
And, we're not violent people. We're peaceful, law-abiding, people that are just praying. But they're afraid to walk in front of us. They are afraid to do that. And when we stand there for our Lord and our Blessed Mother, and it's actually a very consoling, feeling to be there, to offer that that reparation. It's a lot of consolation in doing that, because we know we're under the protection of our Lord and our Blessed Mother. There's nothing the evil one can do to us unless we allow him to do something to us. He has no power over us. So it's really quite satisfying, especially those who come and they go to the first time. You can see that from Kansas, it's about a 4 or 5 hour bus ride from where we're at,
mm-hmm.
and people, it's a long day. You've got 8 to 10 hours of driving plus the time down there, and yet people have gone through it and said, I'm so glad I went. I'm so glad that I decided to do this. And you can tell on the way back, everyone's full of enthusiasm and greater love for our Lord and our Blessed Mother.
Yeah, I find not the same, but similar when we do the, from Philadelphia here, it's only about 3 hour bus ride down to the Capitol in Washington, D.C., so we would do something similar for the March for Life each year.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Yeah.
And I think it's often on the bus rides that those blessings take place. And even when I take trips with friends, if we're going on a retreat that's at some distance, or we have an organization I belong to called Calyx, when we meet once a year in a different spot around the country. And the one trip we made was to St. Paul, which was 20 hours each way.
Wow.
And it was almost the time in the car with like-minded brothers and sisters is often as rewarding, if not more rewarding, than the time we actually spend at the event.
Yeah, absolutely. You develop a spirit of camaraderie and friendship, and you talk about your faith in depth. And yeah, I agree. It's absolutely a very important part of it. As you say, sometimes it's the most important part,
right,
in a certain sense, because you're able to encourage one another, to assist one another in their faith, and have great discussions and pray together.
Mm.
You may spend hours together on a bus. You have plenty of time to pray together.
That's right. That's right. And it's the word you use was camaraderie, and I think fellowships in that same area.
Yeah,
and
sure. Yes.
And to know that we're not the only ones that are doing these good things, and we're not the only ones, especially, that struggle in life with the same problems. And I've been convinced for years that the evil one's number one way to get us is to divide and conquer. If he can get us alone and make us believe that we're the only ones that think, yep, the way we do and feel the way we do and do the things we do, that it's a lot easier for him to win us over. Whereas when we're with like-minded people and we come to understand that, you know, we're not the only, like, I always thought about, like, when I got married, I didn't get a book on how to be a husband. And when I had my kids, yeah, I didn't get a book on how to be a kid. I thought everybody else got this book somewhere, because they all seem, at least on the outside, they all seem to have the answers. Yeah. I was the one that was clueless. And I come to find out, when you open up to people, that we're all, we're not clueless, but some are more clued in than others. But we find that we all come from the same spot, and that there's,
yeah,
people that have gone through what we've gone through, and they can offer solutions. And usually they're more than willing to help us. So.
Yeah, we should seek the wisdom of others. That's what I've always tried to do. People that I admire, ask their advice. You know, what can you give me some tips and advice on what I should do or what I should consider in my decisions? And that helps tremendously. And, you know, the point that you made about people feel lonely. They feel like they're the only ones that think the right way, you might say, as far as our doctrines and moral teachings of the church, especially in opposition to the way society is going today. They see people out there praying the rosary, and that gives them courage.
Mm.
Hey, these people think like that too, and you know, it's not uncommon for people. One of the signs that we have at our rally is says, "Come and join us." And we've had people come and join us. People that weren't even Catholic sometimes join us because they see us out there praying. They're touched by Our Lady, touched by Our Lord, and they feel a desire to stop by and get to meet us and find out what we're doing. And that's a big part of it too, is to give encouragement to people because the media oftentimes tries to give the idea that you're all alone, that you're weird because you believe in traditional marriage, or you believe in the rosary, or you believe in Fatima, or you believe what the church teaches. Society tries to give the idea that you're somehow odd or different for that. And when they see people out there affirming their faith, then they, wait a minute, there are other people that think like that too, and they're brave enough to stand out here and say it. So
right. So again, we're talking to Francis Lobodnik from the National Rosary Crusade, and the website is A-N as in Nancy, ANF.org. Stands for America Needs Fatima. And I still have that website up, Francis, and as I'm looking, I can see these banners, and that's the one you're talking about, praying for,
yep,
the Rosary for America?
That's right, in Spanish or English.
Very good. And again, on that website, if you click on the Rosary rallies, it'll give you a list of locations. You can click on the map by state, and in Pennsylvania, there's a number of them going on here in the Philadelphia area, including a couple within the city limits of Philadelphia. We saw Collegeville, Bensalem, Norristown. So look them up, and you'll probably see one of these banners at that rally. And the reason I asked, Francis, is I'm just wondering, we had Fran on earlier, if it would be possible for us to get one of those banners for next Thursday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If we get it, maybe at the end you can give me your contact information, and I'll make sure it gets out.
Very good, yeah.
It'll go out tomorrow or Friday.
Very good, yeah. We're actually,
and so our headquarters is in Pennsylvania, in New York area. You should easily receive it in time.
Oh, yeah, sure. So we've been talking about the rallies and the rosary and the role it's played in a few instances in history, but especially the role that it's playing today. And like Fran, who called in earlier, was saying how much Our Lady is asking us in these times to turn to her and seek her help in growing closer to the Lord. And you know, I know myself, having done Marian consecration in a couple of forms, that the role that she's played in history in bringing people to her Son, and that's what it's always about. Our Protestant brothers and sisters often accuse us of worshiping Mary, almost treating her as the fourth person, along with the Trinity. And we as faithful Catholics know that that's not the case, that anything and everything that Mary has done throughout all of history has always been to point us to her Son. The messages that she gives us are always what we should be doing in order to, like we've been saying earlier, make reparation to her Son, reparation to the Father, and how the various ways that we can grow closer to her Son, Jesus Christ, and ultimately to his Father. So, you know, the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. Jesus leads us to his Father, that ultimate goal for all of us. And I can't think of a better way to draw closer to her, as she's pointed out, by praying the rosary. And through that rosary, she brings us to closer to her Son. And now to bring that rosary into the public square as a witness to those of us that are those that are around us. And I think people long for something like this, Francis. Like you were saying, when people see it, and they realize that there is good out there, and then they want to be a part of it. And I think especially the Catholic Church, I don't know if this goes back to our history in this country, that it was predominantly Christian and certainly Catholic for a number of years, especially here in Philadelphia and some of the other cities here on the East Coast, where they were predominantly Catholic, so you didn't have to worry about bringing your faith to the public square. It was always there because most of the people that you were around happened to be Catholic, and we never had to evangelize because most of our neighbors were Catholic. And now, you know, here we are many years later, and I think we're starting to learn that we need to get to work, and that we need to take action. And it doesn't have to be extraordinary things. I think of St. Therese, the little flower, you know, that we do. It's through the little things that we do. And something, you know, it may seem like a big deal, but in the grand scheme, it could be looked at as something little as showing up for a rosary rally.
That's right. And it's something, you know, it's something that almost anyone can do. And you know, an example comes to mind. We have had people bedridden in nursing homes ask the staff to wheel their bed out to the front lawn of their nursing home so they can have a public square rosary rally. So, you know, just about anybody can have a rally. And, you know, it doesn't have to. Sometimes people hear the word rally captain, they think W-O-R-K, work. And it really, we have people that have rallies with hundreds of people. We have rallies with people with just a handful of people. It's just a matter of a person with some family or friends, and however how much effort they want to put into it, you know, getting together to pray the rosary in the public square. And we also tell people that we have many rally captains that are maybe elderly, and maybe it's hard for them to go to a, you know, maybe a more prominent intersection. We say, well, have it in your front yard as long as it's available to the public. It's a public square rosary rally. So if you really aren't able to go somewhere and stand where there's a lot of traffic, you know, have it in your front lawn. People that will drive by will still see that rally. It may not be as many people, but it still will have an impact. And the first year we did this, a young father called me and spoke to me in 2007 and said, my goal is to have a public square rosary rally on every street corner in America.
Wow.
And I agree. Imagine the impact that would have on our communities if the faithful really got out and had rallies everywhere. It would have a tremendous impact on our society.
That it would. And I think that especially, like I mentioned, in these days, it's especially incumbent upon us to be able to evangelize. And going back to our Franciscan roots, that, you know, like St. Francis said, preach the gospel often and sometimes use words. We don't have to be We don't have to have a master's in theology or...
That's right.
You know, a lot of times it could be as simple as just sharing our story and not being afraid to let people know that that we have faith in God, and that for a lot of us, that's what gets us through situations when things may seem bleak. That's what gets us through when things are good. And when we share that with others and let them know that God does play a role in his life, then it could be that they're lukewarm and it makes them a little warmer. It could be that they're ice cold and then they're willing to take a look. But for me, one of the greatest lessons I've learned, Francis, is that I don't look for the results.
That's right, yep.
And when we, you know, you take part in one of these rallies and you may be looking around and trying to see somebody that's going to acknowledge it. But I think a lot of the times that it's God's way of keeping us humble, that he doesn't let us always see the results.
That's right.
But, you know?
As we'd say, look who I converted today.
Yeah, right,
We'd feel pretty good about ourselves. You know, it's amazing. All the points you brought up are all points that we bring up in about the Public Square Rosary Rally. And we also say sometimes, you know, to encourage us, God gives us a little glimpse of something to help give us a boost. Because, you know, we're human. We can get discouraged. And we try to be faithful despite something that might be discouraging to us. But sometimes God says, you know, I need to give this person a boost. And last February, we had one of our monthly rallies, and I, you know, do it. But so what's discouraging sometimes is it's hard to get people sometimes to attend, especially on a regular basis. Our family's always there every month, no matter what. And there's usually other people, but it's always a struggle to get people to come. And I think, you know, this is so important. That you know, if you come regularly, you're going to see the impact. But it's hard. Anyway, last February we had a rally. It was kind of a discouraging time. Well, who showed up was the chief of police showed up. And one of the signs that we carry is we have at our personal rally, of course, it's up to everyone else, everyone's rally, but we have a sign that says, pray for our police, and our sign says, pray for our military. And we hold those signs up because we do want to pray for them because they protect us every day. Well, the chief of police stopped by from Topeka and said, you're praying for police? You're doing this?
Mm.
I said, yeah. So he insisted on getting a picture with everyone at the rally. He put it on their newsletter. He put it on their Facebook page. And he actually sent me an email the next morning and said, I just want you to know that I sent a picture of your rally to 380 officers this morning. So, you know, that was a little bump that God gives us sometimes to show us that, hey, you're doing the right thing. Keep it up. There are people that notice, including the chief of police, who stopped by. And normally, you know, police officers, they don't like to get in things, you know, involved in things like that because, you know, they never know it could be controversial or something. But he just pulled over and was just so happy that we were praying, you know, for law enforcement as well as for our whole country.
Mm.
So that's a beautiful, you know, aspect of it too. But sometimes you don't see anything. But I tell people, when you'll see the difference is when it really matters, and that's on the day of our judgment, when Our Lady presents to her son the people that you helped by holding a rally, as well as the other good things you did in your life. When she presents to her son, look, this person had a rally for me, and these souls that drove by, they became closer to you because of this person. You know, have pity on them. And that's what I look forward to. You know, remember me when I really need it on the day of my judgment.
Right. And I was sharing about, and I forget who it was with the other day, but we were talking about the rosary and how many Hail Marys you would say over the course of a lifetime if you were to pray a daily rosary. And I think, I know, as far as the prayer itself goes, that a lot of times when we're praying those Hail Marys during the rosary, that we're using that as a timing mechanism. And we don't always think about that each word of that Hail Mary as we pray 50 of them or 53 of them in a five-decade rosary. But I started to think about that last line, you know, and now and at the hour of my death, amen. And how all those have to add up that we really are praying that our Blessed Mother will be the one that's there. And I have a wonderful friend, Father Doug McKay, who's on with me in the previous hour. And he worked for he was chaplain with the Little Sisters of the Poor over at Holy Family Home, and a number of people that he witnessed that would die. They, you know, people that were would go there and live out their final days, and they wouldn't call it death; it was their graduation. And he was not fond of death when he got there, and he wanted to bug out. And he talks about how in those final moments of our life, where we're laying on that deathbed, if that's a situation, it's not a sudden event, and that because Jesus conquered death, that he takes that last breath. And often when we see somebody that's in the process of graduating, they'll take that what we think is that last breath, and we'll, you know, look at each other and they've passed, and then it could be 30 seconds or a minute later they take that one final breath. And Father McKay is convinced that it's in that 30 seconds or a minute in between those two breaths that we come out of our body and we stand side by side with the Blessed Mother while Jesus Christ enters our body and takes that final breath. And I think all those Hail Marys that we pray throughout our lives, all those rosaries that we pray, that it's that if we really believe in that second half of that prayer, that Mary is going to be there at the hour of our death. And like you were saying, she's the one that's going to escort us to her son and be there as our lawyer, as our counsel, and let her son know that we've been her friend for all this time, be a witness for us as we experience that final judgment.
Absolutely.
And then once that happens, it's the wedding feast. It's all of eternity with our Blessed Mother. And yes. I'm thankful to people like you and others that have been a direct part of my ongoing conversion that bring these kinds of devotions and rallies and events. And it's those in the public square. Somebody had to do it for me. And I have to do it for somebody else, but it's something that we definitely need to see. So I really appreciate the work that you've done. I've loved being with you for this past hour.
Well, thank you.
And I look forward to now getting involved in one of these rallies coming up on the 15th. I think it was actually the woman that's going to run the rally in Bensalem that had emailed us about it and how we ended up getting in touch with you, Francis. So... I actually friended you on Facebook, and you accepted my friendship today. So I'll shoot you my address through there. And,
that'd be fine.
So we can get one of those banners.
Yeah, we'll get you all set.
Perfect. So I want to thank you for being with us. God bless you in your work, and I know that your reward is waiting for you in heaven.
Well, God bless you too.
All right.
And your apostolate.
Thanks very much, Francis.
Bye. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless. I want to thank all of our listeners who are with us today. And, that's anf.org, AmericaNeedsFatima.org. If you go out there, you can click on the map of the United States, click on Pennsylvania if you're in this area, New Jersey, Delaware, and you can find those rallies that are being held in your local area on Saturday, October the 15th. And, again, we're going to have that rally on October the 13th. Down in South Philadelphia, we're going to meet at the Swedish Museum at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday the 13th for our Rosary Rally. So I want to thank all of you for being with me. It's always a pleasure. And until we get together again next Wednesday, I hope that God will help hold you in the palm of his hand. Until then, take care and God bless.